Back. Welcome back to another episode of your favorite basketball podcast at this point. By the voice you could tell, it's me, the voice of reason, the voice of truth, the man who speaks the truth, only the truth and nothing but the truth. Let me just be straight up with you guys. The more you guys frown at the intro, the more I do it.
I smile because I know, like, exactly. Every Saturday you get your lies off, so I let you lie. I like Saturdays.
Tell them.
So if you start to accept the intro, maybe I'll do it less. But for now, it's the man who speaks the truth, only the truth, and nothing but the truth. You can tell it's me, Faye, by the voice, and beside me is obviously the biggest hater of all time, the man who needs no introduction. Spencer James himself. How are you doing, bro?
Who the hell is Spencer James?
It's Febby, man. Febby's right beside me. What are you saying, bro?
I'm chilling.
How was your week?
It's been good. A lot of fun. Yesterday was fun.
Yesterday was really fun.
You know? So, hey, I'm thankful for life. Thank you for everything.
And on the other side, actually, you know what? Introduce us in today.
That's a first.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I might be leaving soon, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. In the right corner.
Actually, never mind. But on the other side,
you can't do him like that.
That's foul. Nah, it's too late. No, I'm not doing it.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead. Let's show off your talent.
That's true.
Okay. Well, since he's refused to introduce Tosin, on the other side, you can tell there's a man who loves LeBron more than Savannah James herself. It's Tosin.
Who?
You!
you have to be confused for someone at home.
Yo, Tosin, you have some mad allegations against you right now.
Wait, no, I need you to bring them forward.
How would you like to respond to those allegations?
I'd like to say, on behalf of my fan base, we're sorry.
What? We're sorry. Yo, what?
My fan
base. He does have a fan base. Funny enough, he has a fan base.
Funny enough.
Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. But it won't happen again. Psych.
All right, man. Let's get into it, man. It's been a week of some really nice basketball. And I was actually struggling. Where do we start? But in my opinion, the biggest talking point of this week has been Wembanyama against the Suns. So why not just start from there? What have you guys made about Wembanyama's start to life in the NBA?
Listen, go.
The prodigy is here. The real prodigy. Like, for the past, I'll say 5 to 6 years, they've always been saying, oh, this is the new guy. This is the guy that's going to take over from LeBron. This is that. Wembanyama is looking like the real deal. Like, look at his skill set. Look at his package. Look at his confidence. Look at the way he carries himself. Like, that guy is something else. He ain't scared of the moment. Playing against two superstars and handled them. Like, no, I was thoroughly impressed. Like, whatever, like, adulations I had for him before, this guy surpassed it.
So. In five games?
No, in just that game.
Okay.
I'm talking about, like, okay, so first game, he was in foul trouble, came back, and almost built his team to win.
Yeah, he had an amazing fourth quarter.
Yeah. Then the other, the first game they played against Suns, they were down by a lot. And they found a way to win. But they have won last year. Hell no. And then they face them a couple of days later and they smoke them. This guy is learning on the fly and he's killing. So I think he's definitely the real deal for sure. Nobody can block this guy. KD was looking like his son next to him. I was like, whoa.
I actually saw the picture of two of them at the free throw line. That was actually insane, man.
Incredible. So yeah. Wait, before I want to say,
yeah, you go.
Everyone that is bringing up Bobo should stop.
Bobo, thank you.
Does not play defense. Bobo does not have the same height. He does not have the same confidence. So please stop.
It was almost like you were. It's like while you were in your house on whatever day it is, me and Femi were having this argument. It's almost like you were present. He really believes Bobo and Wembanyama are the same.
This guy is shocked. Look at him.
What do you have to say for yourself?
Defend yourself. Wait, I think this guy actually finds a way to like hate on you guys.
Ask him the reason why he thinks Bobo doesn't have the same PR as Wembanyama. Ask him.
Femi, go ahead, speak.
Wembanyama is a great player. You can't deny his talent. Like, come on. He's 7'4" moving the way he moves. I mean, you cannot look at that and say...
Oh, it's okay.
You can't look at that and say that, you know, he's not living up to expectation per se. But I just don't like the fact that people like to behave like it's the first time they've seen a build like that.
And that's my point. You are a typical hater. You see people praising someone, and then you're like, no, I have to find reasons to hate on this guy. Sorry for
interrupting. I'm not hating. I'm just of the opinion that we've seen the build like that before, and we should not act surprised as to what Wemby is doing. You know, I like to see this in a bigger stage and everything, because regular season is regular season. They all say, right?
Wait, you're already bringing him down?
I'm not bringing him.
Okay, fair.
I'm not bringing him down.
That size and skill set, sure, we've seen that before. Like a lot of players. We've seen Kyrie's skill set before. We've seen Curry's skill set before. Now, production wise, who in that with that skill set and that size, who has produced like when?
But if Bobo was given the same PR and minutes that Wemby is getting, I feel like he would have more of a better impact. But that's just my opinion.
So you're going based off of assumption. You're assuming he's going to do the same.
I'm not assuming. I know he can do that because I've seen him do it in college. I watched him do it in college. So I've been a Bobo stan since he was in Oregon, honestly speaking.
Wait, are you, like the one are you the one running the Bobo World account on Twitter?
That's foul, man. I demand an apology on Femi's behalf.
I don't need one.
That's foul, man.
That's just my opinion.
That's foul, Tosi, man. Well, yeah, but still on Wemby. Did you guys see the shot he hit, the three-pointer where he got separation from Nurkic and knocked it down? That was such a good move, man.
Considering the time it was like clutch. The scores were close, and it was fourth quarter, like rounding up.
Yep.
And man, that guy is so.
That was a really good move, man. I know they talked about his skill set a lot. I didn't see this coming, but I expected a generational talent, obviously, and he moves like a generational talent right from the preseason. When I saw him go coast to coast, blowing by players and then stepping back and hitting a mid-range jumper, I thought to myself, oh, I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. And then all if he continues doing this consistently with the pressure he's faced coming into the league, well, the sky's the limit, man. But
honestly,
I've been impressed with Wemby's start to life in the NBA. But do you guys think he's enough to propel the Spurs into the playoff spots in the West this year alone?
No.
First,
you a hater. You can spot a hater from miles away.
The man said it with a straight face and everything.
You a hater.
Bro.
Okay. So I think
Inspector Lapole, can you tell us why he's not
the competition in the West is too tight for him to.
So it's got nothing to do with him.
He's got nothing to do with him. So no.
Okay, fair enough. I can agree with that. Defense wins championship. And when I saw D-Book going after, going to the hoop, and you saw Wemby there, and you just reroute and just pass the ball or something, I'm like, bro, this guy actually puts fear in your heart because he can give you 3 feet of space and still block your shot. And I saw the stats that when Wemby's off the floor, they're 29th or 27th defensively. When he's on the court, they are third. So, and he plays, I think, 19 minutes. That was the stat. He plays 19 minutes, maybe 20-some minutes per game. But in 20-something minutes, to have that type of impact is absolutely incredible. Now, like you said, the West is incredibly packed. Yep. So I don't think they'll make it, but they are coming. So if they sneak in, I won't be shocked. If they snuck in, I won't be shocked because
Are you talking playoffs or playing?
I mean, I'm talking
because it'd have to be the 10th spot to make.
I mean, considering Memphis is not who we thought they were gonna be. I mean, I didn't think of them in any kind of type of way, but you guys did. But I would say that's one less competition. And, you know, with injuries, anything can happen. So I think they definitely have a shot. So I would say they have a shot for the play, for sure.
Okay, lastly on the Spurs, do you guys think Wembanyama is going to be the first rookie to make the All-Star team since Blake Griffin?
He has the PR, so yeah.
Regardless of the PR, based on his production.
Based on production, no.
Can you expand on that? What type of production are you looking for, and what type is he giving you?
I mean, we all know what all-star production is. Like, we could have said Evan Mobley, with the way he started, he could have been an all-star because he was averaging a lot of blocks and he was averaging double-digit points, and he didn't make the all-star game.
Was he carrying his team, though?
He was at the time. It was even before the D-Mitch trade, though, that he was on the team.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? So... Yeah. So he was the one. It was at least their offense because at least they had DG on the team. So, you know, that's fair that you could say that he's a solo act, and that could propel him to be an all-star. But if it's based on production, I don't think he is because you still have Chet Holmgren averaging them at the same points and stuff like that.
Right. I mean, in my opinion, I think he has the opportunity to because all-star is all about publicity and production. He has both, in my opinion. He has the publicity, the PR, like you said, and also he has the chance to be in the first team all defensive team, and he's the only star on his team. And if he's able to put them in a position where they're in contention for playing by the time it's all-star period, I definitely think he should be considered. So yeah, I think he can definitely make it.
Okay, what stats do you think would make him all-star worthy? I'm saying like 18 points, for 3 blocks, 10 boards.
I think as far as points, I think he can average late teens, so like maybe 18, 19, mm-hmm. 17. The most important thing for me would be defensive presence. If he's in conversation for defensive player of the year, just like mm-hmm. how they treated Triple J, mm-hmm. he was in conversation for that. Yeah, and that propelled him. So if he's that dominant there, I think more than offensively, because offensively we know what he's going to do. He's going to demand the ball fourth quarter. He's third in the league in clutch points this season. So. Like, I know what he's going to do offensively. So defensively, just continue, and I think he's definitely going to be there.
What about you?
I don't think he's going to be an all-star.
No. I mean, like, what type of numbers are you looking for him?
I mean, for me, the reason why they even gave Rudy Gobert a all-star spot or Jaren Jackson Jr. was because they were averaging at least, like, 15 to 18 points with double-digit rebounds and... at least two point something blocks, right? So
about the same area as me and Tosin.
Yeah. So, I mean, the All-Star game should be best of the best. So if he's around that, if he's playing like at that level, around that time, I wouldn't have any qualms as to why he wouldn't make the All-Star game. But as of this point, I don't think he can.
Let me ask you a question. When the guy that is in Boston now that left Milwaukee.
Drew Holiday.
When he was an All-Star, what was he averaging?
Last season was his first season as an All-Star, I believe.
No, he was an All-Star while he was on Philly, I think.
Philly?
Yeah.
You mean New Orleans?
Either Philly or New Orleans.
I remember seeing him with Kyrie. The highlights they put a week ago with All-Star game. I just don't know what year that was. But I think he's been there before.
Oh, yeah. He's a two-time All-Star.
Yeah. What other team was it?
I'm not sure.
Is it basketball reference?
I don't think it's Philly. Oh, it may be Philly.
It is Philly.
Yeah.
But it was averaging Go ahead. What was the origin?
It was averaging about 17. Well, damn near 18. 4 boards, 8 assists. Over a steal a game. Yeah, and shooting about 43% from the field and 36% from three.
What was the year?
I think it's 12-13.
Okay. So I personally think it was defensive capabilities that probably put him there. Like, just being dominant there. Because 17 points per game, that's pedestrian numbers. And wasn't double digits in any other category. So I think it's defensive stuff, Shaq.
Okay. I hear where you both are coming from, and I agree with both of you to an extent. I do believe he has both the talent and the publicity to make the All-Star game. I do believe he will put up the numbers to make the All-Star game. I do believe he will make the All-Star game, and he will deserve to make the All-Star game based on his play I've seen. So he's just so confident, man. Like, the game against Dallas, I saw him get the ball on the right wing, isolate the center, size him up, and just pull up immediately. Like, you waltzing into the NBA with that level of confidence, seeing the people who was compared with the likes of Scoot struggling, and I understand why Scoot is struggling. Like, I'm not trying to bring him down, but I'm just saying, it's not a lot of people you see walk into the NBA and seize the moment the way he has immediately.
Against two superstars.
Yeah, like, I probably think back, maybe Kyrie, LeBron, definitely. Luka, maybe. But aside these bunch of players, without going far back to the likes of Hakeem Jordan, but in recent times, these are the only names that come up in mind that have seized, like, the moment from immediately they got into the NBA as much as Wemby has. So he's definitely living up to the hype so far. Let's see what he has in stock for us over the season. That should be enough for the San Antonio Spurs and Wembanyama right now. Let's move on to the Milwaukee Bucks. I think they started the season 2-4. They lost to Atlanta last week Sunday. They're 3-2, sorry. 3-2. They lost to Atlanta last week Sunday, lost to the Toronto Raptors. Dame hasn't necessarily looked great. He's not shooting the ball well from three. Defensively, the team is struggling. What have you guys made of Milwaukee's start to the season so far? And where do you think the potential problems lie?
Defense. They're late 20s defensively. And, I mean, like you guys said, you lose Drew Holiday and then everything just seems very exposed. Lopez hasn't looked like what he looked like last year. Defensively, Giannis has not been the same in terms of help defense and all of that. So individually, they have a slow start. I wouldn't say it's a worrying sign, really. It's just a slow start. Team that is just, you know, coming together. So I'm not worried about them, and I think
You think they're teething issues?
Oh yeah.
And what about you?
I'm the same. Like, I'm not even, I don't even bat an eye towards their struggles.
Their development.
They were just,
It would come along.
It was, because teams like you remember before in the what's it called? The D-Wade Brown era.
Yeah.
When they first started
season 10 and 9.
They struggled, but once they caught fire,
yeah,
they caught fire. So I just think they're just getting to know each other's game in actual games. Because it's different from actual games, and practice is different. So, you know,
yeah,
playing in the actual games for sure, they're gonna still try to get to know each other's game. And once they start to mesh, you don't want to see them in a 7-game series. I guarantee you that.
Is it championship or bust for the Bucks this season?
I believe Dame is locked up for a couple of years.
Yeah, for sure. Ah, oh, Dame has one of the longest contracts.
So he's locked up for sure. So I think it's not, like, if they don't make it this year, it's fine. But they have to go far for sure. They have to go the distance for sure.
So it's what, like, conference finals or bust?
Say finals or bust.
Finals or bust?
Finals
or bust. Justin, what about you?
I mean, they have a new coach. So if anything at all, I think they'll just fire the coach and get an experience. So I don't think he's bust.
So you don't think he's anything or bust?
Yeah.
And Giannis is signed for 3 more years too, right?
Yeah, so 186.
Then I think they're set. And Dame is only 31, 32?
Yeah. Okay, lastly on the Bucks, before we move on, there's this debate going on Twitter. And I refuse to engage, but there's a section of people who actually believe Giannis in isolation as a defender is overrated. They say, I personally believe Giannis is the best help defender in the league, and I believe he's one of the best help defenders I've ever seen in my life. But do you guys believe as an isolation defender he's overrated?
How do you define overrated?
Yeah, that's
just not as great as people think he is. Like, in terms of isolation defense, you put him up there with the likes of, I don't know, the glove, Hakeem, who can lock anybody up 1v1. I was watching a podcast the other day, and somebody brought up the stats. I probably should have saved it. That was my bad. But the stats don't actually look great when he's defending, like, small on the perimeter, or even, like, in terms of post-up. Defending bigs in the post or in the lane or stuff like that. 1v1 defense, me against you, the stats do not look great. But then again, my argument for things like that is the system of defense they have is built around players like Giannis. Giannis's strength might not be in isolation, but he's one of the best help defenders we've ever seen. So, but basically, my question is Giannis overrated as a defender or not?
I don't think so. I think in this era, it's difficult to be a great one-on-one defender. I'm sure if we one-on-one defenders, you'll be able to pick them apart and say, okay, defensively, they're not great. Because the type of offensive talents we have right now is nothing like we've ever seen. So I a 6'11 guy guarding a 6'2 guy is always going to be at a disadvantage because they can dance on you. And when you're that skinny as well, because Giannis is too skinny and you're guarding like the Valanciunas.
Giannis is what?
Giannis is skinny.
Giannis is definitely not skinny.
He has skinny muscles. Like, he has skinny muscles. Like, he's not... I don't know, Sha. But
yeah, you say he doesn't have Agbero muscles.
I'm confused, yeah.
when you put him up against, like, Valanciunas, he's going to get bodied. So, yeah, I can see why he would struggle, but I don't think he's overrated. He's good where he's at. No one is the best defender.
I think he's rated right where he's supposed to be.
Do you think he's transcendently great as a defender?
1v1, I don't think so. Because,
like, I'm saying the whole package.
The whole package, transcend, yes.
Okay.
Yes. He's up there with...
Tosin disagrees.
Yeah.
He's up there with KG because he has his DPOY to hold one, right? He has one already.
Gobert has DPOY.
Yikes.
The stats will state
Rudy.
The thing is I don't want to have to defend Rudy to make a point.
Bro, so, you've just put him in hell. Don't worry. Let's just gloss over it like he never said that.
Okay, yeah.
I won't make you do that.
Because I'm like, I want... No,
Tosi, that's the worst thing you've ever done for me. I don't think he'll ever forgive you.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Say one more time, we'll believe you.
I'm fine.
But no, I don't think it's transcendent. Because when you put him up with like the great defenders... I think he's not one of the greatest. He's just a good defender, but he's not even the best in this era. So I don't
know. Okay. For our listeners, the reason we didn't start with the next topic is because I personally didn't think it was that important. So I'll just move on to it. I want to get what you guys' reactions are to the James Harden trade. So for those of you who don't know, maybe you don't have internet or you've been living under a rock, James Harden has been traded to the Clippers for alongside PJ Tucker and Filip Prestovic, sorry if I mispronounced the name, for Nicholas Batum, Robert Covington, Marcus Morris. Am I missing someone? Kenyon Martin Jr. I think that should be all.
Yeah.
And I think 6 second-round picks or something like that, or 3 second-round picks. Even though they did flip Prestovic to the Kings for cash. Well, what did you guys make of the trading so far? And I'm asking from both a Clippers perspective and a Sixers perspective.
For me, you go first.
Philly had to do what they had to do. It was a very unprofessional saga. Both sides were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So it was we definitely just saw the relationship disintegrate before our very eyes. So, you know, because I believe from Houston, when James Harden wanted to be traded, he wanted to be traded straight to Philly because Daryl Morey was there.
Mm-hmm.
And because Daryl Morey had promised him certain things, right? And then he made the move to Brooklyn as a one-stop shop to get the money that he wanted and still get the trade done to Philly, which was his plan, apparently. And then Daryl Morey stabbed him in the back due to some of the performances he had in the playoffs. I want to say fair enough on both sides because, like, you were promised some...
To play devil's advocate for a second, James Harden did leave $26 million on the table.
Yeah.
To improve the Sixers' chances of making the NBA Finals.
Absolutely.
Now, granted, majorly because of his play, they weren't able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I ain't gonna lie, if I give up $26 million, bro, Harden did was small,
man. I'll be trying to get my lick back.
Bro, I'd be naked in the plane. Naked, holding banner, shouting, Daryl Morey is a liar. Straight up, man.
And that's what I'm saying. You could easily say fair enough on both sides. So they had to part ways. And they parted ways. Now, on the Clippers side, on the basketball side of things for the Clippers. On the basketball side for Clippers.
On the basketball side for the Clippers, Tosin, what do you think?
I definitely think the James Harden trade was good for... How would I put it? What they got back for James Harden, I don't think it was great, especially for keeping Joel. I don't think it was great. Turns out right now they're playing good basketball, but in terms of winning the championship, they didn't really get anything to indicate that they are going to win the championship right now. For Clippers, I think it was a good trade because they didn't really have a proper point guard that can run the show. And with James Harden is still elite at running the show. Now, my main problem, I have two problems. James Harden said during his interview that he doesn't really like playing in a system. He is a system.
Right.
He felt locked up or whatever he said. So I definitely think that is a silly statement. You cannot say that and then you're going to a new team. So what are you telling the new coach? That, hey, if mm-hmm. I'm listening, I'm going to run things here. And if you try and run plays or whatever, that's going to be a problem. So I don't understand what he's trying to do there. When you have the generational talent from the court as well. You can't expect that you're the one that's going to run the show every single
time. Who's the generational talent? Kawhi?
Like Embiid. I'm talking about what you said
Okay, on the Sixers. Okay.
Yeah, and my last problem and my last point is I don't think Daryl Morey did anything wrong. Now, I'm always against the organization, but if you remember, I think December time, there were rumors that James Harden wanted to go back to Houston.
Houston, I don't know if you guys remember.
Yeah, so, for sure.
When you already do that, and then the owner is like, okay, we don't want you anymore, why are you just talking about what the owner's, the general manager's actions? What about James Harden putting it out there that he's trying to leave? That's one. Two, you believing that a business, you're taking it too personal, is your fault. Daryl Murray's first priority is the organization and his job. If he sees that you're not performing, why would he give you money? And you leaving $26 million on the table to be like, oh, I'm paddy with Daryl Morey. That's your fault as well. The man is a business.
Yeah, but. And I know Sherwood is going to have a problem with this.
Word is bond.
But the problem is the prince is based on principle, right? Now, you guys know me. As far as the voice of reason, I'm a man of principles. I have certain principles I live by. I don't look at me like that. I don't eat before I have my bath or brush my teeth. I don't do certain things at certain times because it's what you live by. And one thing I don't do is promise somebody and then recant on the promise for absolutely no reason. James Harden took less money because the Sixers most definitely promised him the extension in the offseason. And they didn't give him that. And told him for $26 million. I don't blame him for what he did. Because we're not in this situation, it's very easy for us to say, you're supposed to be a great professional, show up, regardless of whatever it is, and get the job done. But bro, $26 million, I know he has a lot of money, but $26 million is still a lot of money. And if it's something you were promised and you had given up something, for in the hopes that you will be replenished in the future, you can understand why he'd feel hard done, in my opinion.
Not really. I don't know what their conversation was, one. And two, he said Daryl Morey ghosted him, right? Mm-hmm. Which is to be honest, is kind of wrong. You don't ghost
someone
under your contract. But what I'm saying is, I don't expect anyone to look at organizations with morality. Organizations are always for self only. They're rubbish. I hate.
But then, when James Harden sat out, you were on this podcast last week saying he should be a professional, turn up and get everything done.
Absolutely. That's what he's supposed to do. What I'm saying is the fact that he's giving organization $26 million in the hopes that he'll get it back and your play does not warrant that. You shouldn't expect that, oh, I can be cutting deals with the organization. Organization is always going to do things for themselves. So you're not going to give them $26
million. I'm just saying, as human beings, I can understand why he's feeling that way. And I can understand why he feels hard done by the Sixers.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to not show up. You can feel hard done by, you can be upset.
I hope you never lose $26 million in your life.
What's James Harden going to use the $26 million for? The strip club?
He has investments.
Yeah, he has investments.
Put him on blast like
he
that.
Has investments.
You
ain't
have to do him like that.
You ain't got to do that, man. Like Febby said, let's start the season like this. For me, in terms of the basketball side, I am very curious to see how the whole dynamic with Russell Westbrook, Kawhi, PG, and Harden.
Their defense is going to be questionable, though.
I think no, not necessarily.
What? The youngest person is like 38 years old.
Russell is a very underrated on-ball defender. Now, off-ball, he sleeps more than Femi on a Wednesday night, but on the ball, he's a dog.
Just let it go.
They still have two of the best two-way players in the game in Kawhi and PG. And by the way, did you watch that Clippers Lakers game?
Unfortunately.
Oh my goodness. Paul George's shot making in the last minutes was insane. Insane. And the Clippers actually played. PG had 35. Kawhi had 38, Russell had 24. Not extremely entirely efficient, but he played defense, got assists, even though he turned the ball over a couple times. I genuinely think they missed James Harden in that type of game. Yeah, I don't, because they went quiet offensively at some point in the third quarter.
And but do you also believe that if James Harden was there, all those guys would have the same amount of points?
Thank you.
I don't think so, but I think the offensive drought that they went in the third quarter is resolved faster than it was.
I think
it's give and take.
If James Harden is there, Russell is not having the ball. That means Russell is going to have.
That's what I'm saying. And it's not that's what I'm saying.
Points. And it's not and now
the job Ty Lue has on his hands is to figure out his rotations. Because the addition of PJ Tucker, in my opinion, is a big one because he's better than Morris and Batum combined.
They drop 0 points anyways. The other ones don't play. That one plays.
No, but PJ plays defense, man. And he gets offensive rebounds. You can't knock him for those two.
Yeah, I'm
and so for the Clippers, I know I usually have a lot to say, but I just think time will tell what, because I can't, if I sit here and tell you what I expect from the Clippers in 2 months' time, I'm going to look like an absolute idiot, and I don't plan on doing that. So
no, just
I'm
just going to wait
for not embarrass.
Just the barring injuries.
No, not even injuries. Like, I don't know how the whole thing is going to work. I'm not saying it's not going to work, but at the same time, I can't sit here and tell you the way I can say, oh, Dame and Giannis in the pick and roll. If you sag off, Dame can do this. If you're up on the screen, Giannis can do this. I can't necessarily tell you how the rotations, whatever plays they're going to run, how the offense is going to change with James Harden. I can't say for sure. And I
let me tell you. Let me predict. There's going to be the honeymoon stage where everything will just look perfect. But once everything sinks in and James Harden becomes James Harden and is handling the ball every time, Westbrook is going to
do you know what I've realized?
Because he can't play off ball.
Do you know what I realized?
One second. Do you know that the reason why they split in Houston, Russell and James Harden, was because James Harden used to take his time to show up to films, sessions, to practice. It was always on his time. Yeah. They had to hold up the Jets for James Harden. Because
everybody acts like Russ and James didn't ball out that season.
They balled out.
Especially when they made the trade and switched to small ball. Russell was averaging the most points in the paints in the NBA. He had this streak of like 30-point games. He averaged 27, 7, and 7.
They are past their prime.
No, but I'm saying the split up between Russell and James Harden is always like, people always make a big deal out of it. But I don't think it was as big a deal as everyone made it out to be, in my personal opinion.
I mean, when James Harden goes on to have like 4,000 splits, then everything becomes a big deal.
It sounds like a Harden problem. You right.
Yeah. It's
a Harden problem for sure. But I just realized Tosin is like Shannon Sharp. See the way... Sorry, he's like Stephen A. Do you see the way he's plotting on James Harden's downfall? He said there'll be a honeymoon phase. And then everybody is going to think he's good.
Wait for it.
What can't go wrong, will go wrong.
That's a fact.
Okay, we haven't really touched on the Sixers. They started the season very well. They're actually 4-1. The only game they've lost this season is the one against the Milwaukee Bucks, where Dame goes up for 39, even though he did shoot 17 free throws. What have you guys made of Sixers and Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey?
Addition by subtraction. What did I say, boys?
Addition by subtraction.
I call this. Like, you're giving Maxey freedom. Like, Maxey, go explore. Go be yourself. Without looking over your shoulder, oh, there's another ball handler. Like, Maxey is balling out. They have a really solid coach. Like, I watched this Philly fan on YouTube, and the biggest point that I took from what he said was, when they play against teams they're supposed to beat, they struggle. But this year, they are beating teams they're supposed to beat properly. Like,
they beat the chairman of the No Future organization in the Toronto Raptors.
Scotty is him, dude. Scotty is him.
But I told you, that's my dog.
But yeah, I just like they. It seems they have an identity that they're creating defense. They're playing defense. Joel is not being lazy like everyone is, and Joel doesn't have to score 45 points anymore for them to win convincingly. So I think they're definitely onto something. For sure, there's still a gap between them and this second, but there is a big gap between them and the fourth.
Before I get to you, Femi, I watched the game against the Bucks, and I've watched a couple other Sixers games. I watched one of the Raptors games. I know I said I wasn't going to watch it, but I didn't watch it for the Raptors. I watched it for the Sixers. I didn't watch the game against the Suns today, but what I can see from the Sixers that I didn't see last year is, first of all, in transition, they look way better than they have throughout the whole game. So because Tyrese Maxey is like this. In the twinkle of an eye, he's down the court and he's laying the ball up. Secondly, they're playing much better defense than they ever did under Dr. Rivers. Thirdly, you can see what happens when you have a coach who actually understands how to manipulate his rotations instead of going 9 deep in a game 7 of a Western Conference semifinal. And thirdly, you can just see the evidence that you're coached, because a sign of a great team is passing up good shots for greater shots. And I noticed it from the first game against the Milwaukee Bucks. Joel steps into a three. He's wide open, but realizes that Tobias Harris beside him is a better three-point shooter, and he's also wide open. And then he makes the extra pass. Whether he makes the defense collapse, whether Tobias makes the three or misses the three, you pass up a good shot for a better shot. Their offense looks way better than it has all those years under Doc Rivers. And that's no shade on Doc. But they're
no shade.
Okay, you guys know I was lying, but that their offense is clicking on
force of reason, indeed.
Their offense is not necessarily clicking on all cylinders right now, but they just look much like a much better coach unit right now. And then getting rid of the distraction in James Harden is a plus, in my opinion. I mean, they just beat the Suns today. That's not an easy feat. And we'll get into the Suns in a minute, because Kevin Durant, I have my eyes on you.
Why?
But before... Why?
That's what I'm going to say. Like, what do you... Why? Do you...
We'll get into that in a minute. But as for the Philadelphia 76ers, they're looking much better than I anticipated they would. The addition by subtraction thing from Tosin is looking like a freaking master play right now.
He is always aware, bro.
He's aware, bro. But yeah, I can't see anywhere about the Sixers. I love what I'm seeing from them. Hopefully they can keep. I expected them to win about 45-48 games this season. Maybe they can get a little bit more, definitely get into the playoffs, but I like what I'm seeing so far. Now let's go.
What can I say about Philly 76ers? I mean, they are playing better basketball than obviously everyone's anticipated. I think if they really want to enjoy this core, they should just let this year play out and then really go for it next year. Build around Tyrese and
Joel.
But
that might include losing Tobias Harris.
I think Tobias Harris is, if they want to win a championship, Tobias Harris is not a good third option.
I think he's a good third option, but not on the money that he's on right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know. But I've seen too many
I've seen him flame out
too many flame outs to say I wanna believe in him, you know? Not saying he's not a good player. He's a really good player.
You have expectations of a second best player for a third best player.
See, let me tell you, the higher the expectation of the player, the better they should play. But most people, most players crumble under those expectations, right? So
James Harden.
Russell Westbrook.
Ben Simmons.
No, but I 100% agree with what you're saying. So you're saying, let this year play out, lose whoever you can lose, and then get whoever you can get in free agency and really build around this core of Joel and Kyrie. Yes. So do you really think they have a chance at keeping Joel for the rest of his career?
Because look at what the Bucks did. The Bucks did what they had to do to keep their superstar.
Because remember, you have the Tyrese extension coming up as well.
That's what I'm saying. So if depending on how this year ends for Philly, that would determine how, you know, obviously Joel is going to want to react. But I still believe that Philly, if they want to make like a title run, they need to build around Tyrese and
Joel. Okay. Okay. That's about it for Philly. It's an exciting time to be from Philadelphia, man. Eagles are doing well. Sixers are doing well. Let's hope both of them end up winning the championship at the end of the year. Speaking of championship, let's go to Boston Celtics.
Wait, when you say let's hope both of them win championship, what do you mean by that?
Both of them win the championship. I want the Eagles to win the chip.
Oh my goodness. All right, move on to the next phase.
What do you mean, oh my goodness?
Don't get me started with Mahomes.
You don't say you're a Mahomes fan. At the beginning of the season, you say you're a Mahomes fan.
Yeah. You're right. Actually, we are talking about the wrong sport. Let's go on to...
Guys, on task.
Let's go on to the undefeated team in the NBA, the Boston Celtics. Now, you guys know this is my pick to win the chip. And they look every bit like a championship contending team. What do you have to say about the start to the season the Boston Celtics have made?
Then, I mean, they are indeed a championship worthy team. I just believe they will have to shoot themselves in the foot to not be where they're supposed to be.
You straight up.
Because, I mean, they walloped the Indiana Pacers by 50.
That wasn't a walloping, man. That's just what seniors like Michael Equilibe used to do to us in secondary school. They straight up destroyed, bullied them.
Like, just... And they are physical. They are a very, very, very physical team. So, I know in the playoffs, that bodes well with the referees, with the atmosphere and everything. So, for sure, they are a... championship, you know, contender.
Championship unit.
And they will have to really shoot themselves in the foot. Like, they will have to, like, point the gun in their foot to, like, really not make it to where they're supposed to be. But that's just my opinion.
What about you, Tosin? Know your opinion sometimes.
I mean, when you see their championship, like, you're saying they're going to win the championship. They're your pick, right? I definitely think their championship team, they have everything you need. Three-point shooting, ball handling, IQ players, defenders. They just have everything, a coach. My only problem with them is Denver Nuggets. I'm not... When I tell you, they don't need to shoot themselves in the foot. Denver Nuggets are their juggernaut. You cannot do anything with them. And again, they have Porzingis. If they manage to keep Porzingis healthy, they have a good shot. But I just don't see it.
I would really like to see that matchup, though. The Nuggets against the Celtics.
Have they played this season?
No, not yet. I would love to see that matchup.
Let me tell you what Jokic is going to do to Porzingis. What Ekwe Basile or whatever he said was doing to you in school. That's what he's doing for you.
My Ekwe Basile.
I don't know what he said, but that's senior.
Nah, man. Don't do that. You see, the thing about the Celtics is, the moment Denver Nuggets won the chip last year, I just had the feeling that the Celtics are going to get it this year. And not because of... Obviously, I like the fact that they switched up their core, because a wise man once said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. A switch up in your core is what the Toronto Raptors needed to take that extra step and become NBA champions.
Leave my Raptors out of this.
Now, trading DeMar didn't go down well with the fans, but if you ask them, nobody regrets it having the 2019 season that we had. Trading Marcus Smart might not have gone down well with the Celtics fans,
That's what I'm saying.
You guys shouldn't do this. You know I'm a Toronto fan. I'm just very objective. Okay, I'm just very objective. trading Marcus Smart might not have gone down with the fans, but it might have just been what they needed to get across the hump, because the Celtics look so great right now. Jason Tatum is playing like the MVP candidate I thought he was going to be. And there just comes a time in your NBA life where you are supposed to have, where you just get this level of maturation. We saw it with the Heatles when they went in 2011, 2012. It was 2012 that they won the trip, yeah. Where basically, Dwayne Wade tells LeBron, like, you know, this is your team. You know what I'm saying? I feel like, because the Celtics have lost in how many conference finals in the past few years, bro. I feel like Tatum just has to feel like, you know what? It's about damn time. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Jalen Brown's left hand is looking better than it did last year in the playoffs. I just think the age of maturation for the Celtics has arrived, and this is their year. Now, I may be wrong. Rarely happens. I may be wrong. But
who have they played this year? Have they played any contender this year?
They've played the Heat. They've played the Knicks. The Knicks, the Wizards, the Heat, and the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah,
and
so
the Indiana Pacers.
I'll say we should slow down. They're looking good, but we should slow down.
Okay, we'll see.
Slow down about Wemby too. Same principle.
You know what? Fair enough.
Let's move on to the Phoenix Suns. God damn! As good as of a time it is to be from Philly, it is the worst time possible to be from Arizona. Actually, no, the Diamondbacks made the final of the baseball, whatever it is. But aside that, bro, the Cardinals are stinking it up. And the Phoenix Suns, after they traded for Bradley Beal, even though he hasn't been able to get on the court because apparently his back is broken. Spinal.
Foul on the play.
But what have you guys made of the Suns' start to the season so far?
I mean,
go ahead.
They have not played to their expectations. They still haven't, like, the one thing with KD's teams now, we have, like, I've noted this pattern is they all have to be healthy for you to see the derived or the expected result, basically. You know, I think once Bradley Beal starts to play and they start to get, you know, a rhythm for each other's games, I think we'll see the full potential of the Phoenix Suns. We're just seeing the snippet.
So,
and it's not.
Sorry to cut you short. Losing the way they lost both games to the San Antonio Spurs is a problem?
No. Teething problem.
Really?
Yes.
What about you, Tosin?
I wouldn't take those games too much to heart. I think it's just beginning of the season type of situation.
Thank you.
I just have different problems with them. But Femi, are you done with your?
Yeah, you can go ahead.
Okay. Now my problem with Suns is, first of all, I think since Durant said, yeah, I'm leaving Golden State, and went to that helicopter, blah, blah, blah. I think some of the fans in San Fran, they went to meet the toughest Babalawo they knew. And they said,
they met Pogba's one, man. The one Pogba you see.
They met Pogba's Babalawo. They said, every time this guy comes with superstars, injury will not make them succeed. It's absolutely saddening.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I've noticed that pattern. Like, bro, it's
yeah, but at the end of the day, you do have Kevin Durant and Devin Booker on the same basketball team. Starting off the season 2-4 is not ideal.
Okay, so let's break it down. Their first game, they played against a contender. They won, right? Against Golden State, they won.
Mm-hmm.
Their second game, Book didn't play.
It was against LA, yeah.
Book didn't play. Third game, Book didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth game, the Book play? Was that the...
No, Book didn't play.
Book didn't play. Their fifth game, Book came back and they narrowly lost. Now, Book coming back from injury, you can't put too much stock into that. You're supposed to come back from injury, still played well, but you can't put too much stock into that loss. And Wemby had like otherworldly
38. So, like,
yeah, and two blocks. But my main problem is having a guy that his back is broken on the bench. Now,
that's what I'm saying, bro.
The worst injury to come back from is probably back, because it affects your jumping, your shooting, everything.
We saw unless you're Mike Tyson.
Unless you're Mike Tyson. Well, we saw Ben Simmons come back from a back injury and how the athleticism just looked totally different. Now, it's going to be interesting to see how Bradley Beal comes back. But even if he comes back strong, I expect him to be injured again. And I hope not. But just looking at the track record, he always is not there. The guy just gets injured every single time. So it's very upsetting to see. I want KD to succeed, and it just seems like the third best player that they traded a lot for cannot be on the court. He and D-Book cannot do it alone because they traded a lot of their depth away. Now they don't have so much.
Okay, Book didn't play today, though, in the loss to this. But that's another problem. Is availability going to become a problem for the Suns? Because because the way you're talking now, the moment one of those superstars is not available, it's a problem for the whole team. And so if there's no, like, if we cannot rely on the fact that all three are going to be reliable through the season into the playoffs, then how is this a championship contender?
No. Book and KD alone, they're championship. They beat Golden State. So they're championship contending team. But the thing is, they're not good enough to actually win the championship. That's my only thing there. They need all three of
them. What about you?
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, they would need Beal if they want to be successful.
They want to reach the heights.
Yeah, and my issue now is with the way the West is built, losing games like this can end up.
Thank you. Messes your seeding up, and all of a sudden you find yourself playing Denver in the first round.
That's a juggernaut they don't want to face right away.
Yeah,
you get so it will definitely mess up their seating, and they need to find a way to get Beal on the floor and consistently keep those guys on the floor. Because I mean, to reach their heights. What's his face? Nurkic, Bol Bol, and Book and KD can do it all. So.
Yeah, Bol Bol played this season.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
He's played more minutes than both of us.
Much time, so let's check up on three teams. The Warriors have made a great start to the season. Steph Curry looks nice. They just absolutely own the Kings. They cannot lose to the Kings for some reason. Then another team I need you guys to touch up on is the Memphis Grizzlies. Ooh. It's so bad Marcus Smart was crying on the court yesterday.
Man.
I don't know if he was crying, but Buddy was breaking down.
Mark was looking down on his knees. He was like, damn, what's going on?
He's like, what have I done? Yeah, but the Memphis Grizzlies started 0-5. Ja is not coming back until December, so they got to figure that out. Actually, four teams. Then OKC and the Pelicans. Quickly, can you guys give me a rundown?
What about Dallas?
Oh, my goodness. They've made such a great start this season.
And you guys expect Wemby to really make the playoffs.
They've made such a great start to the season. You just can't. You know what? We'll run our time over. We'll get into Dallas, then run off those four other teams. Luka Doncic is the MVP of this league right now. Yes or no?
No. No.
Can you Justin, explain what about why? You?
No.
Okay. Well, I think it's between him, Jokic, and Tatum right now for me.
Right,
I wouldn't say Doncic is leading because all three teams are doing amazing and each player is doing amazing in different ways. So I don't know who is leading, but it's a tough race between the three of them.
I think Luka is the MVP of this game. I did not see the Mavs looking now. the sample size is small. I think it was their 4-1 because they lost the Nuggets yesterday. But Luka looks good. Kyrie doesn't even look great yet.
Kyrie's worse, cuz. Now admitting all these simple
coming ways from
saying,
you. Oh, coming man. From you.
It was sad. Last night was sad.
Kyrie doesn't look great yet. Grant Williams has been a really good pickup.
My goodness.
What's the name of the rookie that hit the putback?
D. Lively.
Yes. I love him so much. I love his energy. I love his passion. I just love him. I love the way he plays basketball. But so the Mavericks look so good right now. And yes, it's a small sample size, but do you think they can keep this going over the course of an 82-game regular season?
Absolutely not.
I don't need an explanation.
Let me tell you why. There's one singular problem and singular reason, and that's his name is Kyrie Irving, and that's it.
You care to go into details?
Kyrie just doesn't like. Okay, so the problem I've always had with Kyrie, like last year, 2 years ago, that I mentioned this podcast, he becomes too passive. Like when Luka goes to the bench, I expect Kyrie to be like to be demanding the ball. Okay, I'm a pass the ball off if they're double teaming me and blah blah blah. This guy would just go to one corner and say, what's his name? Other players just run the offense. I'm gonna be in the corner and be chilling. Like, why are you playing like J.R. Smith? Because even J.R. Smith be demanding the ball. So I expect you to actually play like the superstar you are. They're paying you all of this money to relieve Luka, not to go and sit in the corner and be acting like, oh, I got a new haircut. Oh, I'm chilling.
Okay, so my question is, if Kyrie takes the step that you're urging him to take right now, what is the ceiling for the Dallas Mavericks?
Ooh, their ceiling is incredible because the way Luka is playing right now.
I'm saying this season.
Yeah. The additions they have, the additions just fit perfectly. So if Kyrie becomes who I know him to be, I expect them to be in the conference finals. They can beat anyone except Jokic. Jokic is the only one that can take them down. That's it.
Okay.
That's their
Okay, let's run off quickly on the other teams then. You don't have anything to say about the Mavericks?
I don't have anything
to
say.
That's sad, man. That's sad. Run off quickly on the other teams. OKC, Pelicans, Warriors. Did I miss somebody else? OKC, Pelicans, and Warriors. What have you guys made of this season so far? OKC is 2-3, I think, because they lost to the Warriors yesterday. The Pelicans are actually 4-1, and the Warriors are 4-1. What you guys made of their season so far?
Steph Curry is in the MVP conversation.
1,000%.
So it's Curry, Jokic, Tatum. Deal with it.
And Luka.
I respect your tenacity, man. Keep going.
Deal with it. Quickly. Obviously, the Warriors are, I mean, they're hitting their gears. They're moving through their motions. Their offense looks like they haven't missed a beat. The other guys are looking like fine wine because you know,
and I'm liking how the cum bucket is looking as well.
Who?
The cum bucket.
All right, man. Let me continue.
That's what they call him, though.
You don't have to join them.
That's that. He has a choice. I believe he has a choice.
Don't let me tell them the name of the almond milk you drink, man.
See why you're evil. You are built with evil intentions. You cannot be the voice of reason.
My bad, man. Carry on.
Yeah, but OKC, they are looking like the team that you know. I didn't expect them to hit their girls right away or be in straight up contention. They're still a very young team and still trying to get their offense going. They still even need to try to integrate Chet into the their offense. I feel like he needs to spend like I always say, spend the one summer with Kevin Durant. And I seen him this summer working with KD, and you can see some of his progress. Right?
Summer with Hakeem.
Am actually trying to run up through this 14.
My bad. Go on. Go on, man.
With the Pelicans, the only thing that I've always stopped the Pelicans was their health. Yeah. So we're seeing what they're what they would look like if they're healthy. So I am not surprised. I just wish and hope that they can
stay fit.
Thank you. That's pretty much all I can say about the Pelicans. Because they are a tough out in the playoffs. You don't really want to play in the in their home ground because it gets really crazy down there too, especially now that they have Mr. Williamson. Zizou.
What about you, Tosin?
So
I mean, I predicted the Warriors to be, I think I said third or fourth, right?
Third seed, yeah.
Yeah. So I definitely think they're gonna have regular season success. I'm not sold on them, not even close. Because who have they faced? They faced their Suns twice. They faced when they faced a contending team, they lost, which was the first game. And after
wait, you're not sold on the Warriors at all.
Absolutely not. They faced OKC without Shea yesterday, and they looked like they were going to lose up until Draymond was romancing the rim. So I don't know what.
You didn't touch the net first.
I don't know, man.
Giddy touched the net first.
Bro. What do you mean, romancing the rib? Oh my days. I'm done with this. You guys, I am officially done with Tosin.
But anyway, that's the reason why I'm not sold on them. For Pelicans, I love Pelicans.
Sorry to cut you short. I'm just going to say, it's every year that you have counted Curry out that he's won. Just aside.
Tosin has counted Steph out since 2014.
Before he came into the league, I counted him out.
That's crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, wait, sorry, you were saying the Pelicans.
The Pelicans. Before I go into the Pelicans, you reminded me why I hate them more. Klay Thompson is still ass. Draymond is looking like he's worse shooting the ball right now. The guy's missing simple layups. I don't know what's going on. Yo,
Draymond's form is funny as
when he hit those first two shots against the Kings.
It's too funny. Have you seen the clip of him wearing the backpack?
Yeah.
And then they're like, everybody a gangster till Draymond starts hitting threes, man.
And then Chris Paul said, oh, I scored 0 point, 1 point, and we win. Amazing times. No, let me tell you something. It's going to be amazing times still. They need you to score more than 3 points, and you're over there dropping 1 point, and you lose. You're going to be looking like a dickhead. So I think Chris Paul needs to actually wake up, and I start playing ball. Stop passing the ball to Kuminga all the time. You don't know what you're doing, because the guy cannot shoot anything. His mid-range that we know him for, breaking everything up and down.
Tosin.
Anyways,
Tosin.
To the Pelicans.
Woosa. Yeah. Woosa. Deep breaths. Okay.
Okay.
Now onto the Pelicans.
To the Pelicans. Their only problem is health. If they're healthy, their defense has always been amazing. They're up like Ingram. Couple games into the season, he's already on the sidelines again. I don't know what's going on. When he gets back, you sub with Zion to go to the bench as to be injured again. So I don't know what's going on. Like, they can't play together. So
Yo, I don't know what's happening, man. Did Chion piss you off?
What's going on?
So I just think their ceiling when healthy is as high as Dallas Mavericks, but they just need luck. And the third OKC. I think OKC, I love OKC. When they're all healthy, they could have smoked the Warriors yesterday. And I mean, easy smoke.
I didn't even notice Jalen Williams is built. He's built like a machine.
Yeah. And they have too many ball handlers. Like, and they use them so correctly. Like, Williams goes to the bench, Giddy's with ball. I'm like, as an on-ball defender, and people know how to treat all of them.
And the offense they are on with their, because I think that's why they got Muscala, because he spaces the floor, and then they have the guard actually come and set the screen on the ball handler.
Dort, so, did you see Dort? Just Dort was 6 of 6, like at some point.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Lou Dort has some days where he just randomly decides to turn to the greatest shooter of all time. Do you remember that playoff game against the Houston Rockets?
Yeah, he was.
I think he hit like 6 threes that night or something like that. He literally couldn't miss. But Yeah, that's the Femi and I watched the breakdown of OKC's offense, and just I love every single bit of it, man. But the firepower in the West is just so much right now. It's so difficult to predict where they're going to end up. So for now, OKC, I think they're the team everybody in the NBA loves, regardless of where you're from, who you're from, whatever it is. Like everyone loves OKC.
You know what it is? I think because we saw them break down the whole organization and like literally restart and get to where they are. So
Sam Presti deserves some credit, man.
Some big time credit, and he still has assets for days,
for destinies, man.
Like, but for my days, thing is, bro,
they have to use whatever asset they have to perfection. I don't want to see you go out there and get a Donovan Mitchell. No, you don't need him.
Do you know what the problem is? I was seeing that with the CBA rule, they won't be able to keep all of them because, first of all these guys, they deserve mad money. It's impossible to keep all of them. So within a couple of years, while their window is right now or whatever, or is about to open, before their window opens, they might have to get rid of some of them.
But that's why you have so many budding stars, because budding stars can be turned into superstars, whether by their growth or by trade. So I think regardless of whatever happens with the CBA, make the right moves, OKC is right back at where they were when they had KD and Russ.
I mean, I feel like they're going to make one big trade soon. Yeah.
And I feel it's going to be Embiid. Especially if the Sixers don't fix up, I think it's going to be Embiid.
And I guarantee you, that's the same thing I was thinking. They have the players and the picks if they have to. Like, I mean, and that's like the only superstar.
The question is whether you could get Embiid without giving up Chet. So we will find out.
It's almost impossible because to run your the team is going to be redundant having Chet and Embiid at the same time.
You can play Chet at the four.
We'll see.
If they play Chet at the four defensively, who wants to score?
That's what you really call that. Twin powers.
Who wants to score?
Wait. If Chet is playing at the four, I think everybody is scoring. Every team with a proper like AD type of player would bully Chet every single time.
Nah, you're sleeping on Chet. Just because he looks skinny doesn't mean he's not a bad man. He's a real bad
guy. The guy only punished someone yesterday, and that was Steph Curry. And I can punish Steph Curry.
No, you can't.
What? Pardon?
I'm done with this guy, man. What else do we have? What else on the agenda?
God of mercy and compassion. Have mercy on our souls.
Father, in the mighty name of Jesus,
bro.
The NBA in-season tournament kicked off yesterday, and for those of you who don't understand, show of hands. Do both of you understand what the NBA in-season tournament entails?
I mean, I know, like, you win a champion, you win a cup at the end.
Oh, my God.
I see it as the FA Cup.
Yeah, that's practically what it is. After group stage, is you lose your out type of situation.
Yeah, so basically what it is the 30 teams in the NBA, and they're divided into six groups, five teams each. I think they use a random draw within teams in the West and East. So so each conference has three, something like that. I'm not sure. But I know there are six. So each conference has three groups, sorry. So the winners of the groups in each conference will qualify for the next round. And then the teams with the best record, irrespective of conference, will now be the wild card. So that's the quarterfinal. There will be eight teams, the winners and the two wild cards. And then the quarterfinal, then the semifinal, and the final. All games count to the regular season except the final. And for the players, to just incentivize them, with the first place gets 500k, second place is 200k, third and fourth place 100k, fifth to eighth place I think is 50k. So
I think Clippers should definitely win it because James Harden needs that money now, eh?
Out of pocket.
Nice.
Unhinged.
Nice.
Unhinged. You are unhinged, brother.
Nice. A wise man once. What did Cole say about hating on him? If you broke and you hit a millionaire, the joke is on you. So the joke is on you.
Fair enough. Guilty as charged.
But yeah, I thought it was going to be a completely different tournament, like different from the regular season games. But I like the way they managed to tweak it. And I mean, they just did it for a bit of competition because at the end of the day, in the fall, the NBA does believe that the regular season games are a drag at this time of the year. So just to incentivize it a little, do you guys like the idea behind an in-season tournament?
I mean, we won't see it as a thing right now until maybe 10 years down the line.
Yeah. And do you guys also think it will start counting towards people's legacy? Because you know, nobody loves legacy talk more than the NBA fan base.
That's true. I mean, same way they'll start saying the Western Conference Finals MVPs count, right? So, I just think it's there has to be some level of growth in the business for them to make their money. So I think that's what they're doing. So they're just being a business entity by adding a tournament into the season, right? And they also want
to last. I think it'll last.
I think it will last the same way the captains of the All-Star game lasted.
3 years.
Yeah, I know. I know what I'm saying when I said it. Because like at the end of the day, I don't know, like, will the players themselves, I don't know how they would react if they were champions of the in-season tournament.
Yes. Yes.
You get. So you know. He's not going to be... He's, to them as well, it's not even... even Bones Highland today was like, I don't even know.
It was a couple of days ago, he said he doesn't know what is going on.
What is going on, so...
What about you? Are you... Tristan, do you receive the in-season tournament very well, or you're just like...
I like it. I'll make an addition, but the reason why I like it is, and why I don't think it will go away like the All-Star game, is because that your wins actually count in the regular season.
Towards the regular season, yeah.
Yeah, it counts, and everyone cares about seeding. The only thing I would add is the winner should have, and I saw this online, so it's not my idea, the winner should get automatic playoff qualification. Not
that. That.
Is incentive.
But if the Orlando Magic wins
then other teams should try hard.
I'll keep it $1.50 with you. I am not trying to see Cole Anthony and what's the brother's name?
Jalen Suggs.
Oh, Jalen Suggs in the playoffs.
Damn.
Man. No.
That's crazy.
Suggs.
I know that's your man, but bro,
I like Don Kerry, but I think he's a
oh
way to
I do re- like Powder.
I think it's a way to reward teams that
take the regular season seriously.
Yeah, exactly. Teams that are not necessarily favored to get playoffs, but they try hard for the competition. And if you want people to try hard for the competition, you can reward them by the winner being automatic.
No, I agree. That's a good shout, actually. Maybe if automatic playoff qualification is already secured, then maybe if the team still ends up in the playoff spot, then maybe you can guarantee them home court throughout the playoffs or something like
that. But that's still to the first seed, though. The first seed of every conference gets home court throughout the whole playoffs.
No, but I'm saying, like, if they win the in-season tournament and finish, like, third in their conference, they make the playoffs.
They still shouldn't get home court throughout the
world. Oh, so you don't advise, agree with that?
Yeah, I agree they shouldn't get home court. It's going to be too much. But I don't think there should be anything with money incentives, because these players, we've seen that money doesn't really mean much to them. Like, 500,000, what are they going to use it for?
Guys, that's what roster 15 player 15 on the bench needs that 500k, man.
But are they giving each player 500,000?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I guess.
So you thought they would give them like one biscuit and then all of them would share from the stick.
But think about it, dude. Player 15 on the bench is not going to play. So he's not going to affect the win.
But he's going to do the greatest motivating job of his life. He's going to be Jared Dudley in the bubble.
He's going to be hassling that wasn't playing and his team still lost.
that's rude, man. Why can't he beat Thanasis?
Now that is rude.
Yeah, that was
not funny. Oh, yeah. So I think it's just time for us to get into biggest winners and losers of the week. Who y'all got, man? Biggest winner of the week.
Biggest winner. I mean, I want to say the only name that pops up in my head is Steph, and I don't know why. Steph was really cooking this past week, like really cooking, like turning around, dapping up people before the shot goes. Like, are you? That's rude, bro.
Biggest winner for the week is Wembanyama for me.
Fair, good job.
Yep.
Actually, on the side, Bobo's on the summer. Because I'm going to shout him out.
DNP's coaching decision, bro. Every night.
Remember, I rooted for you since Oregon.
DNP coaching decision every night. Since Oregon, night.
Bro.
On his third.
I had your back, bro.
You're beating your chest for no reason.
My biggest winner is a combination of three people, or three organizations. Philly.
You must always be special.
No, I'm just saying, Philly for getting rid of, they got pest control, so they got rid of the pest. James Harden for finally going to the team he has always wanted, which is the 20th team he has always wanted.
Crazy person. He's a crazy person. That man is crazy.
And Jokic for once again showing me that when it's time for a big game, this guy would always just be the best player in the world. It's crazy what he did to Dallas. 11 of 13 or something like that.
Man, yeah, 11 of 13.
Yeah, those are my winners.
Okay, for my biggest loser of the week, and you guys should just hear me out. Like, I'm not, usually I hate my biggest loser of the week, but I genuinely feel bad for this organization. Somebody on Twitter said, after 15 games into the Warriors season, they knew that the 15-16 season, the Warriors were going to be special. They didn't see 73 wins coming, but like they knew what special team coming. And 10 games into this season, they can see that this team is going to be very unserious. And that team is the Washington Wizards.
Yeah, oh, that is
true. I honestly feel, and that is the capital of the United States of America. That's sad.
Down 20.
That's not even the board. Did you see? I just throwing it off the backboard. Down 20. Like, what are we doing here, lads? Like, come on, bro. Yeah, Jordan Poole. What did you do on the? Wanna talk to me? What did you do on that fast break? What did he do? Did you guys see the fast break I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. That's why I said down 20.
He's going down the court, and he goes into the paint, runs out, sets, and still gets blocked.
Against Boston, eh?
Yeah. Why this? Why this? I don't know, man. If you're from Washington or you're a Wizards, oh my god, and they have the Commanders too. You know what? Sorry about that, man. Sorry about that. For you,
biggest loser. Shoot, what can I think of? Who really pissed me off this week?
I have one for you though.
Who?
The Houston Rockets.
Nah, he ain't really do anything. Ben Simmons, just cause.
Just street, just catching street.
You can say that every week. I guarantee you, I know who Tosin is going to say. Let's say it at the same time.
No, I have multiple actually.
Okay, but I can guarantee I know
I'll,
one
I'll,
of them.
I'll leave that last person for last, so we'll say it okay. Together. Okay. So my first loser, our first loser of the week. Is like you said, Jordan Poole. No, I'm not talking about Washington. I'm talking about Jordan Poole. Now, why? On top of what you said, you have Golden State flourishing with someone that is dropping 0 points, Chris Paul, 0 points, and they're still flourishing. So all you had to do was be proper, professional, and not cause trouble. You can drop 0 points and they will still win. So Jordan Poole for sure. loser of the week. I had a different loser, but I can't remember right now. But yeah, we can go ahead and say my loser of the week.
3, 2, 1. The Clippers?
James.
No, I didn't think it was. I thought it was going to be the Clippers because they ended up with James Harden. That was my thought process.
That's a fair point, but I think the negativity is more James Harden because it's just James Harden. Now, James, the reason James Harden is getting loser of the week, although he was also my winner of the week, so yeah, I don't really know what's going on.
You're special, man.
But why? It's because this is your, how many teams now? Fourth team, right?
Yes.
Fourth team. You talk about your assistant.
Is it four? Four or five? OKC, no. Houston, Brooklyn, oh, yeah, Philly, and Clippers.
Yeah, five. Okay, you talk about your assistant. How are you going to implement this with Westbrook? If they're bad and they're worse off, you're in trouble. Philly don't mess with you anymore. They are flourishing without you. Now, you're going to come there and you're going to see that, oh, it's not actually the system that makes me a terrible shooter. I'm just actually washed. I am trash.
Damn.
I'm not that guy.
Damn.
I am not him. So I definitely think these things will get exposed to him.
And what did he ever do to you?
When he hits rock bottom, he will now find out that the strippers don't even like him anymore.
I think it's a case of transferred aggression.
You ever seen that Boondocks clip where the guy goes, what did he ever do to make them ninjas that mad?
but I think that's all, man. It's been a hectic week. I'm not even going to lie. A lot of which I won't get into happened this week.
True.
But there's nothing better than at the end of the week getting together to talk basketball with your homies. So appreciate you guys for listening. If you made it to this far, then I really mess with you.
Wait, one last point.
Yeah, go ahead.
Manchester United sucks. They will continue to suck. And that's just what it is.
You said we shouldn't bring up United with you in our lives again.
Yes, you didn't bring it up. I brought it up. They suck. And they continue to suck.
What did he ever do to make him mad?
Actually, it's a case of transferred aggression. He has been angry since 6 o'clock in the morning. Okay, yeah, like I said, if you made it this far, really best with you. Thank you for messing with our content. Thank you for...
And on a side note, I don't need an apology, VAR.
Why are you saying like a villain?
Bro, bro, don't let things like that ruin your weekend, man. Just... I told you already, on Judgment Day, they will have their own separate line. thank you for listening to another episode of the CourtCast. It's been real. We hope you enjoyed listening as much as we enjoyed recording. As usual, I've been the voice of reason. He's been...
Oh, please.
He's been...
That guy.
No, you're not. Anybody who calls himself that guy is really not that guy.
I'm the man.
No, you're not. Yeah, you should. And you have been on the other side.
Toast.
Yeah, man. T-Shiesty. It's been a pleasure. See you guys next week, Tuesday, even though technically we don't record this on Tuesday. But see you guys next week, Tuesday. Have a lovely week ahead. Adios, amigos.
Adios.
It's a Slam Time production.